Blog Talk Radio.
The following contest is the Gravy Bowl Invitational, and it is for the Women's Championship.
JR, do you hear what JR just said?
It's the,
the love of God.
It's the, leave out six or seven of those.
The following contest is for the World Wrestling Federation Women's Championship, and it is the Gravy Bowl Invitational.
It's women! And it's women!
Women!
Women! And don't try to leave out about seven or eight of those uhs.
This is the Greek god, Demetrius Papadon, the greatest unsigned talent today, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
There's another band I reached out to about coming on here, but he doesn't listen anymore.
Oh, I know. I wouldn't want that.
I know. I'm just trying to point here.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that, Dan.
Produced so well. George Martin-like material.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's why you don't have the producer title, Dan, because...
We should do this. No, we really shouldn't, actually.
Yeah, not, no. No. I don't even know how I could advertise that.
This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
If you take a little bit of Tool and a little bit of Megadeth, you have this band, and that's all they're trying to be. Or you take a little bit of the Allman Brothers and a little bit of Fish, and you have this pseudo hippie, crunchy granola jam, whatever that is.
Yeah.
I got so disappointed with seeing these bands that say that they improvise, and I put that into the proverbial quotation marks, who say that they improvise when they really practice 12 hours a week sculpting these contrived jams where everyone knows what's going on, and then they go on stage and try to fool the people into thinking they created it on the spot, when they really harvested and woodshedded and grinded on that same exact style of music they're trying to play. We do something completely different from that. We get on stage, we know what we're going to do, we know how it's going to go, but we don't tell anybody about it. We just do it. And what happens, happens. Every show's a snowflake. No two are the same.
I love it. Welcome to another episode of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am your host, the Dean of Credibility. That's right, Double D. And you can find me at Folsom County. With me, as always, is the above-average comedian, Dan the Man Colachico.
Find me on Twitter.
All right. I didn't hear half of that. I think we're having a few difficulties here.
Oh, awesome. This is how it's going to go.
But Just saying. I did hear the end of it.
You can find me at Dan Lloyd 83.
I heard that.
Sweet.
That's twice now.
Sweet.
Amen, brother. Well, I wanted to say one thing. Earlier in the week, I received a message. Apparently, a collect call was made. Oh, imagine getting this. I'll tell you. This is a collect call from someone on the New Moon Rising Wrestling roster.
No, thank you.
This call will be recorded and monitored. I have a collect call from
Crazy Ivan,
an inmate at a detention facility.
Matt Tremont, you see,
I was wondering why when the guards came as I was trying to get my one-day pass, and they denied me. They denied me my one-day pass. So what they got a beating. I punched one of them in the face. I make sure one of them cannot see. Listen, you're over there running your mouth at New Moon, and the only reason is because you know I'm locked down. You know I can't get out. You're getting everybody's hopes up like you're the new hero. These people have no hero. They can't see what's going to happen. Fear you? I don't fear nobody. Hear you? All these voices in my head, the only ones I hear is to beat you. Believe? You better believe. You better have all those kids looking up at you to believe for God, because he's the only one that's going to help you. February 16th, there won't be no denying my pass. Matt Tremont, I'm coming to kick your...
Wow. It's on February 16th at the Proving Grounds. That's, of course, the 1030 Delcy Drive.
Building 4W in Westville.
/ Deptford, New Jersey. Now.
Yes. Exit 25A, 295. That's all you need to know. If you go to, if you're driving on 295, which is really the smart way to get there, find exit 25A, turn. So violent.
Dan, we can hear you just fine, please.
Oh, joy.
Over the weekend, of course, there was UFC 156. It was headlined by Jose Aldo taking on Frankie Edgar. Some people said that the decision was a little bit controversial. How do you feel about it?
Those people are wrong. That was not a controversial decision. The only controversy was whether it was four rounds or three for Jose Aldo. Realistically, he won that fight. In my card, I definitely had him winning the first two rounds pretty decisively. He was just out striking Frankie Edgar, doing more damage. Third round was close. That was when Frankie started to get his stride, started making some good moves. Being able to get inside and land some strikes, although they weren't very damaging strikes, I still gave that round to Jose Aldo. Fourth round was Frankie. Frankie was his best showing at that time. He was finally getting stuff together. Jose Aldo was looking like he was getting tired at that point. His mouth was wide open. And Frankie's cardio started to take over. And then in the fifth round, that was another close one. Aldo got his second win and was landing some shots. The more damaging shots were landed by Aldo. I actually did give that fifth round to Frankie, so I had it 3-2 in favor of Aldo. And I think that's the right decision. I'm okay with it being four rounds with the judges that went four rounds. For Aldo, because that fifth round, I could see that going that way. And the unfortunate thing for Frankie Edgar is, where does he go from here? He's lost his last three fights. Granted, they were all title shots.
Yeah.
And they were all against very good fighters. They were all very close. He didn't get beat down at all. I mean, he was in all those fights, so I mean, he's still a very dangerous fighter, a very good fighter.
The decision was 49-46, 49-46, and 48-47. A lot of people said the last three rounds, and I'm just saying layman, said the last three rounds were definitely Edgar's. And you, of course, disagree with that.
No, I don't think you can say they were definitely Edgar's. Only two I could say. Like I said, I lean towards the fourth and fifth rounds being Edgar's, but I don't think that third round was. If you want to give it to Frankie, okay.
Whatever, Chris.
But it wasn't. Aldo was landing some very good shots. He was landing the more damaging shots, and he really controlled that round, Dan. But
I watched. You know, I should know.
Yes. Well, you know. Did you actually watch or no? Are you just messing with me?
No, I was in and out, dude.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm looking at when I'm watching. I'm just watching two dudes beat each other.
Yes. Well, that is ultimately what it is, I guess.
Well, that's the first step, Dan, to getting into MMA is
watching people beat each other.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, did you? Well, you know, that was a good fight, but I think you know, if you're a layman, it wouldn't be the first fight I would pick for you to watch.
layman meaning like newbies.
Newbie, yeah.
Gotcha.
Someone new to MMA, I mean, it was a good fight, and if you're an MMA, someone who's watched a lot of MMA, I think you can appreciate it. And it had action all the way throughout, but you weren't seeing the real knockout, damaging brawls that.
And I'm sorry, Chris. I didn't mean it.
No, I'm fine. I was finishing.
I wasn't expecting that to be. You know, I stopped. I'm gonna watch this. It's the first thing I'm gonna see, but. And I don't mean this in a disrespectful way. It moves too slow for me. I guess it's because it's real.
It depends on the fight.
It really does.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That was... Those... I mean, the Aldo-Egger fight wasn't... I don't think that was a slow fight. I mean, so... There are slower fights.
Yes, like the next fight we're going to talk about, which was Little Nog taking on... Rashad Evans, of course, a lot of people have ripped on that. It was a unanimous decision, 29-28 all the way through. Where does Rashad go from here, Omega?
I don't know, because he was talking about fighting Anderson Silva.
Well, that's not happening.
So, as long as Evans has a contract and he has a job, I mean, he looked horrible. No doubt, he didn't look good at all. He's always that guy you can. I don't want to call him a gatekeeper because he's really not a gatekeeper. He's still.
You he's still consider in, him upper echelon?
I still consider him upper echelon in light heavyweight. I mean, he's still. Like I said, he looked horrible, but I think he's still up in that upper level right now. He's if John Jones ever gets beat, he's in the conversation. For the next title shot, assuming he gets another win back. I mean, he has to get a win back now, but
yeah.
But I mean, he drops, but I don't think it's horrible. He just got beat. I know you think he said he hurt his hand or something like that, and it took him out of the game. I think that's just an excuse. I think he just looked bad. And I don't think Nogueira really showed me anything that said he really should have dominated the fight the way he did. But it was a good fight. I mean, I think Nogueira came out better than I thought he would. I think we got talked last week and thought this was going to be kind of one-sided in Evans' favor. And it really wasn't. I think Little Nog put on a good show for what we expected out of him. So,
it's a big win. It's a big win.
I don't know where Rashad would have been in the pecking order pre-fight, but I mean, he would have been third or fourth. In the light heavyweight rankings, I would think. So, I mean, it's a good signature win for Little Nog. And, you think about the Nogueira brothers. They're not that old. But they've just been in so many fights. it's just like, does he have anything left? It's hard to say. But, I mean, let's see where he goes from here. What's his next fight? I don't know if they've announced a next fight for him or not, but...
Well, they did release the official rankings. We'll get into that a little bit later. But according to the official rankings, he's number 5.
Yeah.
Or light heavyweight.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm on board with that. That seems a little high.
Rashad Evans is 6.
Well, and that's just by virtue of Little Nog beating him. And that I think it's one of these situations where I probably would have put Rashad above Little Nog at this point. Even with the win, but whatever. I can understand the thought of since Nogueira wins, he automatically goes above Rashad Evans, so you gotta drop Rashad Evans farther. Whatever.
Yeah, so we have that. Also, now here was a big upset, I think because both of us last week, we both said Hal Overeem was going to completely dominate Bigfoot Silva. The complete opposite happened. Now, Overeem, do you just chalk this up to him being very overconfident, coming out, you know, hitting his cheeks, putting his hands down, just taking Bigfoot too easy?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's really what it came down to. I think Overeem was way too confident, just didn't give Silva any respect. And, you know, this comes from a guy who really doesn't like Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And even I give him some respect. I mean, Silva's a big dude, and he can still hit you. So.
And once he did in the third round, Overeem was out.
He was out. It was. And you would have thought at the end of the second round, when Silva kind of poured it on a little bit and tagged Overeem, you would have thought Overeem would have come out and said, okay, well, maybe this is a fight. I better decide I might want to win this. Instead, he just got tagged.
Yeah.
And just got beat down that third round. I mean, that was brutal. I mean, he was out on his feet, and Silva was just – obviously, Silva was not happy about being disrespected. And made Overeem pay for it. It was
had to be, well, he had to be physically pulled off by Herb Dean because he was still going after him.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I don't think he heard Herb say stop. I think Herb had to just pull him off, and then even then he was still screaming at Overeem
exactly.
After the bell. So it was crazy.
Wow.
You know that I did not call that at all. Obviously, I fully expected Overeem to cruise through this fight and set up Cain Velasquez versus Overeem, and that didn't happen. So that's interesting. That really it really throws a huge monkey wrench into the heavyweight division as to, you know, what's next. Who's the next title fight?
Well, according to the rankings, you have Dos Anjos 2, Verdum. I mean, Dos Anjos is 1 as far as contenders. Verdum is 2. Cormier, who hasn't even fought in UFC, is 3. And Bigfoot, now 4.
Yeah. That's the thing. Is, and you look at those rankings, you say, well, you know, Cormier's already got a fight. Junior Dos Santos is, you know, do we want to do the trilogy? I don't know.
Do you want to do it that soon?
Do you want to do it that soon? Exactly. And then you got what? Bigfoot? You know, has Bigfoot done enough? Bigfoot lost to Cain Velasquez too.
Yeah, that
pretty,
set up
pretty
the
decisive.
Yeah, that set up the title fight.
So, you know, you got a lot of play in there. I mean, so you got Daniel Cormier and Frank Mir. They're tied up, so you can't go to them. So then you're looking down the line. You're looking at Big Nog and
well, Overeem, yeah, Overeem is 6. Big Nog is 7. You got Roy Nelson, Stefan Struve, and then Shane Carwin, number 10. And I think Carwin, isn't he injured? So
yeah, he's injured. Yeah,
the top 10 really doesn't look that impressive when you look at the UFC top 10.
Yeah, well, you're looking
I'm
at
excited.
That. He's excited. Your dad's excited. I wish that's good. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think you go with JDS 3. JDS Kane 3, honestly.
Well, that seems to be the moneymaker out of all those, unless you give Verdum a fight, but the only thing he's done is beat Roy Nelson.
Yeah.
So, I mean, or do you give it to Roy Nelson for the heck of it, to see what he can do?
You could do that. I mean, I don't know. Well, Nelson's got a fight with who's he got a fight with next?
Oh, goodness. I should know it.
Yeah, I just saw this the other day. I should know this. Oh, well.
Well, I'll look it up to finish another call.
Well, yeah, I just, you know, I think it comes down to you know, you look at, you got, at least with Junior Dos Santos and Cain Velasquez, you got a one each win. And you can at least say, let's finish up the trilogy. Let's see if Cain got caught the first one. And Junior was not prepared for the fighter that came out of the Cain that came out to beat him. Nelson's facing Chet Congo.
Yes, I just looked it up as well.
Yeah, but you know, but yeah, I mean, we get down to it. So that's the fights that's left, and I think it's not horrible. You know, you can play that up for 5-6 months and let that simmer for.
I agree. I think the trilogy is a good idea, and it's really the only viable fight at this point. Now, the rest of the main card, Damian Maia defeated John Fitch by a unanimous decision, and it looks like all three rounds, according to the official judges, went to Maia. What do you have to say about that one?
He looked great, really. I mean, for since dropping down to welterweight, he has looked fantastic. And to out-wrestle John Fitch is really impressive. For three rounds. All three rounds. Fitch, he did not give Fitch any kind of room to get anything going. And, you know, that was as bad as John Fitch has ever looked. And that's including the knockouts.
Yeah.
You know, Damian Maia embarrassed John Fitch, which, you know, if he can out-wrestle John Fitch, you wonder and you think, well, what can he do to George St. Pierre?
Well, that was the thing with Maia years ago. He was a guy that was always good as far as the grappling, but he never had much of a stand-up. And he got to the point, I forget what fight it was for Maia, but he got to a point, and then he was kind of forgotten, lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, well, he lost. You know, he lost to Nate Marquardt. And That was it.
Yeah. It was the Marquardt fight. That was a quick knockout, right?
Yeah, it was a quick knockout, and then he won again and fought Dan Miller, and then he got his title shot at middleweight against Anderson Silva, which, you know, he lost. And then he kind of got lost in the shuffle after that. He picked up a couple wins, but then he picked up a couple losses. He lost to Mark Munoz, he lost to Chris Weidman, and then he said, well, I'm going to go down to welterweight and see what I can do there. And since then, he's looked really, really good. He fought Dong Young Kim, and that was kind of a freak injury thing. But so he won that one. That neck crank on Rick Story, where Story bled from the nose from that.
Yeah.
You know, that was sick. And then just coming out and taking on a Fitch, you got to wonder, this new weight where guys are not going to push him around as much, and he's actually got strength advantage. Add to that his world-class grappling pedigree.
Yeah.
You got a guy who can do some things. Now, I don't know. I think his stand-up's still questionable, but, you know, if he can get a guy down, you know, you got to like Maia on the ground.
And he's the winner of his last three. I mean, I know you went over that, but, I mean, that's pretty big. That's when you start talking about title contention.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's you know, George St. Pierre has opponents right now. He's got the John Hendrixes of the world and those guys. But, you know, I think you got to give Maia another. I don't know who you can give him that's better than John Fitch. So,
well, do you like a possible Rory McDonald fight with Maia?
I do like the winner of Rory McDonald and who's Rory McDonald fighting? I can't remember. I should know this. Oh, Carlos Condit.
Yeah,
Carlos Condit. You know, neither of those guys is going to fight George St. Pierre.
Yeah,
because Carlos Condit obviously just lost George St. Pierre and Rory McDonald has said he won't fight George St. Pierre. So give him the winner of that match. Completely makes sense.
I like it.
Yep.
Of course, the last one on the main card was Benavidez defeating Uncle Creepy. Unanimous decision. So it looks like a lot of decisions on the main card there. This one was
actually a good fight. That was a good fight. I mean, the flyweights always are fast guys and deliver the action. It was a close fight. I mean, the decision says unanimous. I thought Benavidez really didn't win the fight, though. I thought he kind of won pretty much all the rounds. Just looked better. Was just getting more offense going. McCall just couldn't seem to contend with Benavidez's striking and his footwork. But, you know, he didn't get blown out either. He was in that fight, so he could have won. It could have gone. I'm not going to say it could have gone either way, because I really did think Benavidez did more. But McCall was competitive for the entire fight. And you look at the top four of the flyweight division. It's very thin right now, but you're looking at Mighty Mouse, you're looking at John Dodson, you're looking at Joseph Benavidez, and you're looking at Uncle Creepy. There's not a lot of difference in terms of skill and talent. They're all you look at those four and you say, I think any of those four can beat any of the other four on any given day.
Yeah.
So there's really a lot of parity at the top. We need to look for, hopefully somebody will come up from below that bottom four and really step up and you know add some more depth to the division. Hopefully we can get some more flyweights in to the division. You know, I don't know if that means going to Japan or it means going, if we can find any domestic fighters here that might be available.
Yeah, there's a few on the not independent scene but the regional scale that probably could fill that. Guys in Bellator, guys, you know, in legacy fighting championships.
Yeah, I mean, and we still got some guys that could. There's still some other flyweights that can step up and present some challenges to Mighty Mouse. But you know, it's early in this division's life cycle. You know, we just haven't seen it yet. They're kind of where the lightweights were 3-4 years ago, and now we got this ton of lightweight fighters now. We're starting to fill in the 145s and the 135s. And the 125s will come along. It's just we're not quite there yet.
I would agree with that. Now, another thing from the prelims, Tyrone Woodley, showing that he actually can stand up, strike.
Yeah.
36 seconds, knockout.
Brutal knockout. And it was quick. It was clean. It was devastating. Not much else to say about it because it was so quick. It was just Woodley just pounding out Heron, just landing that one punch, and just you look at this guy and he's obviously jacked. He's a strong guy. You gotta think that his punches pack a lot of power, and obviously they did.
Yeah, definitely. So Woodley, he was a big thing in Strikeforce. Do you think that carries over now? Definitely has momentum.
Momentum is always good. You know, he lost to Nate Marquardt for the Strikeforce title back in July. You know, it's so hard to tell the guys from Strikeforce. You know, I kind of like in where we're at with Strikeforce now is kind of where we were at the WEC. You know, a couple years ago, we really didn't know if these guys, once they got to the big stage of the UFC, if they were going to perform. And now we're seeing guys like Benson Henderson and Jose Aldo and Anthony Pettis, you know, that are starting to make them their presence known in the UFC and showing that the WEC was not just just some regional promotion that really didn't mean anything. Yeah. And I think Strikeforce we're going to start seeing that now. We've already seen that with guys like Bigfoot Silva. Coming over and making their mark, and Nick Diaz, and those places. I think we're going to see more Strikeforce fighters coming over. Now, is that going to be Tyron Woodley? Yeah, we'll see. You know, anybody can get caught and get a quick knockout. Anybody being wrestled. Jay Heron, he's a good fighter. Is he the top of the top? Certainly not. Let's see what Woodley's next fight brings. I think he's certainly got momentum, as you said, and I think that's he's got that going for him. And if he's continuing to evolve his style beyond his wrestling base, that's only going to be better for him.
I'd agree with that as well. Now, I brought it up. Official rankings now were put out after UFC 156. You don't seem to agree with the pound for pound.
No, I'm just the bottom.
You jerk. Well, the top 10, pound for pound. Number 1, Anderson Silva. John Jones is 2. St. Pierre, 3. Jose Aldo, 4. Henderson's 5. Benson Henderson. Cain Velasquez, the heavyweight champion, is 6. Dominic Cruz, 7. Isn't he injured, Dominic Cruz?
Dominic Cruz is injured, yes.
Still pound for pound. Okay, makes sense.
Yep.
Demetrius Johnson is 8. Frankie Edgar, 9. and Dan the Icon Hendo Henderson, number 10.
Yes, number 10.
Well, I mean, why do you disagree with Henderson being 10? Dan Henderson.
I think there's other fighters that the if I'm looking at, I'm actually okay with the top 9.
You're
I think
such a jerk.
I'm okay with, well, I'm just saying, I'm okay with the top 9. I think those are all guys in the conversation, certainly. Henderson, yeah, I'm not as big a fan of Henderson as you are. I do not doubt his skills. I do not doubt his accomplishments. He's certainly a legend in the sport.
I'll automatically back up whatever Chris says.
Yeah, but if I'm looking for pound-for-pound fighters, I don't see Henderson in that conversation. To me, I'm looking at guys like Anthony Pettis.
I can see the argument for that.
You know, I'm looking at guys that are. I hate to say it, but I look at they're more in the Anderson Silva, John Jones, George St. Pierre mold, where they seem to be really good at finishing guys. And well, not George St. Pierre, but
well, Henderson can finish.
Oh, I mean, he can, but can he finish like Anthony Pettis? Does he have that kind of cardio? Does he have that kind of overall game now?
Well, granted, I mean, the last fight he was in was against Hua, and he did go 5 rounds. It wasn't an impressive 5 rounds, but he did go. I mean, that last round he was pretty much getting his head beat in, but he did go 5 rounds. Impressively, no, but probably that fight is in the discussion of best fights of all time, bar none.
Okay.
How can you not agree with that?
I thought it was a good fight. I don't know if it's the best fight of all time.
But how can you not agree with that? I didn't say best of all time. It's up for discussion, surely. It was the 2011 fight of the year, easily.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just not that as big a Dan Henderson fan as you are.
I'm not even speaking as a fan. I'm speaking as an observer of MMA. Come on.
I just disagree. I don't know. I think it was a good fight. I don't doubt Dan Henderson is a very talented fighter. I don't doubt he's a legend in the sport. I don't doubt
he's probably nice to his kids.
But, you know, at the same time, he's...
I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
I was trying to add something. Now that my mic works, I'm going to add what I can.
Yeah. But, you know, if I'm... And he's on a 4-fight win streak. Absolutely right. This guy that beat Fedor Emelianenko decisively.
Yeah.
You know, he's looked very good the last couple of years. I completely agree. I just don't believe that. Again, I'm talking pound for pound. I just don't think he is number 10. Top 25, sure. Top 20, even. I'm not sure he's top 10. That's the only argument I have.
Well, you had a problem with him being ranked number 1 in the light heavyweights as well.
Yeah. I think Machida is better than him in the light heavyweights.
Well, I guess we'll find out. When do they fight?
Oh, certainly.
157?
Yeah, 157, yeah.
The next pay-per-view.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think I look at, light heavyweights. I'm okay with him being up there right now in light heavyweights, really. Like I said, I think Machida is better than him. I could flip a coin on him and Gustafson right
is
now.
Is it the fact that he comes off as a one-dimensional type of guy? Is that your problem with him? He comes off as a guy with the right hand, and he can land it.
You're talking like I have, like I sense that he has these huge flaws, and I don't really. I mean, it's just if I'm comparing him to other fighters. I'm comparing him to Leona Machida. I think Machida has more well-rounded game. Yes, but certainly Dan Henderson. Henderson has the one punch knockout power. Absolutely. Is he a great wrestler? Olympic caliber wrestler, of course.
Yes.
But we've seen him fall on the cardio. We've seen him get pushed around by better strikers, guys that can move quicker.
I think the Machida fight is very interesting contrast of styles. I think that's going to be very interesting because of how elusive Machida is.
Exactly.
I mean, nobody moves like Machida, quite frankly.
No, nobody counter fights like Machida.
Well,
Machida is really elusive. There's like, you know, the way Machida eludes people is crazy. It's there's all sorts of really elusive guys in MMA. You look at Anderson Silva, who just moves everywhere, and he's just one step ahead of you all the way. Look, guys like Dominic Cruz, who are just fast, that can just elude you that way. But
let's be honest about Anderson Silva. He is in the Matrix.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, come on, that guy.
You picked him.
Yeah, but what Machida is he's a very, his karate background is different in that he is able to bait you into making moves and counter those moves. That I don't think it's the way I look at Machida is he does have movement, but he is more back up, make you miss by being where you don't want to be and then countering you. So it looks like he's eluding you when he's really just countering your moves.
And not only that, he strikes when he sees that opening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's one of the best counterpunchers in the game right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's, and we've seen him lately who's always going to be that karate fighter, and so I guess you expect the kicks, but you're seeing him win with those type of things now, and it's pretty, he when he's on, he's among the best.
Yeah.
You know, and I would like to see him, I wouldn't mind seeing Machida Jones' second fight, honestly.
Well, if he beats Anderson.
Yeah.
Which could happen. I'm not blind to that fact, but
no.
If he beats Anderson, definitely you have to set that up. I don't see anything better for John Jones, especially according to the rankings.
Yeah.
I mean, perhaps Gustafsson, but perhaps, I mean, come on, once you get to five, you got Little Nog, you got Hua, who's already been there. Phil Davis?
Yeah, not Phil Davis.
Bader?
Bader just fought in the preliminaries.
And then Musasi, who hasn't fought.
Phil Davis.
You're wonderful, Phil Davis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. That just, you know, seems very generic.
He's a fairly generic fighter.
I'm Phil Davis, and I'm going to get you.
Yeah.
Who's going to get you, Sonny? Phil Davis. Oh.
You know, yeah. Well, I mean, I know what you're saying. You know, and again, Dean, I just like tweaking you, but I give Dan Henderson a very good chance to beat Leo Machida. I don't think I'm not gonna pick him to beat Leona, but he's got a very good chance to beat him.
If he has a very similar way that Bisping was eluding Henderson, and he goes to that power side, then it could be over. But I don't think Machida's that stupid, quite frankly.
No, Machida's a much better fighter than Michael Bisping.
And the thing about Henderson is he comes out very fast. He wants to end fights early. He wants to get it over he's not getting paid by the hour, quite frankly. He's not getting paid by the round. He wants to finish it. And that's what I've always liked about him.
Yes. That's great. Yeah. I mean,
that's great. I don't care.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. You're not going to convince me.
You're
going to have to agree to disagree, I guess, as to Dan Henderson's status in the current MMA landscape, which is fine.
No, I'm just saying I think Dan Henderson has had a phenomenal past couple of years. It's been kind of a revitalization of his career, and that's who does that at 40?
Oh, yeah. Well, other than Randy Couture, yeah.
Well, Couture had handpicked fights. I mean, let's be honest about that. At least be honest about that.
Yes, we can be honest about that.
Yes. So,
but, you know, it was also a very different heavyweight division.
True.
And quite frankly, light heavyweight division too. It's a very different UFC.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, now you're really talking about the best in the world.
Yeah. Guys that trained in mixed martial arts, not picked up things along the way.
Yeah, I agree. So that's really awesome. I think we had a nice conversation about things.
Very good. We did.
Yeah, so
fill the time.
It was great filler. We're about ready to get to our next part, but we'll be right back on the other side after this.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sun down shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
All right, so we are back, and we're getting ready for the debut of a new segment here on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Took me a minute to find out, but now I get it, of this new segment. I'm very excited.
So
I like this person a lot.
I think everybody does, Dan. He is the master official of...
You know, the master official.
...of New Moon Rising Wrestling. He is the Iron Ref, if you will.
The Iron Ref?
He two events.
The only one that likes to show up.
Two events.
Huh.
He has refereed all the matches. Two events. No help. None needed. Iron Ref. That's right. And it's almost time for Master G's Theater. But when you, I'll tell you, when you have a guest of this dignity of this class, you have to give them the right intro.
Oh yeah.
So without further ado...
You have that intro, I'm assuming.
Yes, I do. So without further ado, I will bring on Master G after this. It is with great pleasure I bring to everyone the master official of New Moon Rising Wrestling. Welcome to the show, Anthony Rock.
Thank you, Dean, and it's a great pleasure to be on the Cujo and Double D show.
Thank you.
You want to get hung up on really quick.
I like
No. I just, that was a lot to live up to.
You know what? I didn't like the sound of that, the Cujo and Dean hour.
I certainly don't.
Well, where's Chris?
I can say, it's like, okay.
Sorry, Chris.
He's kind of an afterthought, unless it's about MMA. It's a really sad thing. Now, Master Fisher,
Dean said that. I did not say
that.
Well, fine. I know where I stand in this little fiasco. I guess.
Hey, you had a good 40 minutes this week, Chris.
Shut up. It's my turn.
Hoping that no one calls in.
Well,
it'll happen.
Yeah. Now, Master Official, I wanted to get to your origin. Now, who did you train under to become a Master Official?
Well, as you know, I trained to be a wrestler first. I worked for a little while in the business, and I soon realized that my skeletal frame was not really, ready for the bumps and bruises I was going to take. So I kind of walked away from the business for a little while. I had done some refereeing during that time, and I went on hiatus. I went on sabbatical. I traveled down to Brazil.
Brazil,
wow. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I thought, here I could be Secret Service deep in Brazilian prostitutes and just forget about all my problems. But one day I was being lured deep into the jungle, probably to be killed, when a man in a cloak, the high priest official, came to me, saved my life, brought me under his wing, and said, "Anthony, I've been waiting for you." I was called.
You were
called. I didn't know why I was there.
You were called to this. Wow.
It's a calling.
So what happened after that? I mean, what type of trials?
From Brazil to Jersey?
What type
of trials? No. I was injured. I was in Brazil. I left Jersey to go to Brazil.
Yeah, I said he sent you back to Jersey?
Well, I came back. There are family here, and it's a great wrestling scene in New Jersey.
Agreed.
Okay. All right, I'll give you one.
But what type of trials did you have to undertake to earn the title of master official?
Oh, well, it was years and years. My body is covered in 20% scars from all the beatings, the whackings with bamboo and sticks. And I had to break tree stumps with my three count. I had to navigate the forest of foreign objects blindfolded. And finally, I had to snatch the foreign object from the high priest's hand.
So what was your first job as this master official?
Well, my first job, once I came back as a master official, was actually with New Moon. I came back because I saw that the company was starting up. As you know, I had a lot of history with the people who were starting the company from when I trained as a wrestler. There was a lot of camaraderie from back then. Right. And I volunteered my services. I said, "I can be an asset to your company, and I can help it grow."
I was basically brought in with open arms. And when you are on a show,
mm-hmm.
and you're the only official, per se. Now, I know there's guys back there that can also do your job, but when you're the only official officially signed up, do you ever get nervous? Do you ever get worried, or you got this?
You know, you get bumps and bruises even as a referee. There are times my kneecap feels like it's popping off my knee from hitting the mat so many times in the show.
Yeah.
But I, for the most part, no. I mean, I live by a motto, and that's no breaks, no backup, no problemo.
Oh, okay. Has there ever been, and this is a question I actually wanted to ask you, but I figured I would save it one time we're on the air so we get everybody the same answer. Has there ever been a situation that you had no idea or no way to get out of?
Absolutely.
In a match?
Well, not in a match. Recently something came to my mind. I was trying to figure out how to get out of it, and it was only about an hour ago when you played that phone call from Crazy Ivan.
Oh.
So I think I should make an official decree that I'm appointing Cujo as the guest official for that match.
Yes.
So I don't have to go anywhere near those psychos.
I'll do it. That's fine. I'm insured. I'm insured. Just to get in the ring one time.
I'm in trouble on that one.
No, I'm going to hold them to it too.
Yeah.
You're in trouble now, dude.
No one could be as good as you as running the floor, so I just don't think we could be without you there.
I just to get in the ring once, that would be a dream for me, even if it's in front of two people, to be honest.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was good. Go ahead, because I was going to go into another question.
No, I was going to say, I did have wrestling training. You're welcome to come to the ring and try me out any time.
I might take you out on
the transition. You know, Proving Grounds is a training facility. It's the best in the world. We have great trainers ready to teach you how to do what they do. So,
I was going to say, if there were ever, while we're on the air, since we're talking about this, if you ever were wanting to be a referee, manager, or a wrestler, they have a free tryout at New Moon.
Absolutely.
All you have to do, I think you have to... New Moon.
Send an email.
Any
send
email.
Email. It's that simple.
And it, well, I know. I can't remember the email. It's nmrwrestling.com. Well, it's nmrwinc@hotmail.com. You send
right.
an email to that and set up a free tryout. And that's for referee, manager, or wrestler. Which
and you will be evaluated by a master official if you're trying out for referee. So, you know, it's going to be a lot harder to break into the business under me. But I'm happy.
Training
in exactly.
Do we have the necessary tree stumps in the back, too?
You know, I did move to the woods, so I can bring my own tree stumps if we have to. But
that's
the thing,
folks.
I can't train someone to be a master official. You have to be called. I mean, there's been so few throughout the world. I don't even know all of them. In fact,
is this Pan the Goat God?
I'm sorry?
Is this Pan the Goat God that calls you?
No. You know, who knows who the powers that be? Just know that I was summoned. you know, when a cloaked man knows your name in the middle of a jungle, you know that there's something bigger guiding you.
Did he speak perfect English?
Broken English.
Was he on an army phone?
I'm sorry?
Was he on an army radio phone?
No, he shunned technology completely.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, one of them. Gotcha. I was going to ask. Go ahead, Dean. I was going to ask one more question, but go.
No, go ahead, Dan.
We kind of already answered it, but I mean, where would somebody go other than that school? I mean, can you just go to any wrestling academy and go, I want to be a referee only?
I'm sure there are certain places that will train to be just a referee. I unfortunately only know one decent school in our area. So that's the New Moon Rising Proving Grounds. So
that's 1030 Delsey Drive, Building 4W in Deptford/Westfield, New Jersey. It's 25A295. Go, Dean.
The question I had concerns the current dealings in New Moon Rising Wrestling. Now, I do want to talk about the card. When you look at that card that was put out on the Scoop Slam, which is available on YouTube and the website, nmrwrestling.com, the great website. Check it out.
Great website.
So check that out at your own leisure. But we announced the card this week, and probably, I want the master official's opinion. What match are you looking forward to call?
You know, I mean, you'd have to be crazy not to be excited about Crazy Ivan versus Matt Tremont. That's going to be intense. It's going to be something we've never seen in New Moon Rising before.
And a great guest referee.
And a great guest referee, exactly. I'm certain I will have several phone calls from members of the board as soon as I get off this, telling me that I have to get out of this.
I'll get text messages right now.
Well, but I mean, there's so many great matches. You know, we're going to see the debut of Beverly Berwick as he takes on Mr. VIP, SoFly, LJ Cruz, and
trust and believe.
You know, oh, you beat me to it, you son of a bitch.
You have to understand that, you know, I have history with LJ Cruz when he was a member of the Mies Society. We discussed this last week when I called in.
Yes.
The man kicked me in the back of the skull and nearly knocked me unconscious. But, you know, he has seen the light. He has been on your show, I believe, and he's discussed the things that has made him into a kinder, gentler person. He's apologized to me. And I find him to be an amazing professional, a real asset to the company, and he always puts on a great show. So you've got to be looking forward to that.
I would agree with that. I have a new outlook on things as well. If you saw the Scoop Slam.
I saw the Scoop Slam, yeah. It's a little scary. I think I preferred the really angry, devious Dean to the Thorstein-induced Dean.
You know what? I mean,
it made me nervous.
Absolutely.
Brady is a good friend.
Has anyone seen Brady since that interview? Is he still alive?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I saw him over the weekend.
Good.
Yeah, I did see him.
Not your freezer, right?
I saw him every time I went to get a drink this weekend.
No, we spent like all day Saturday together. It was crazy.
I'll tell you this.
Wrestling day, we went to some show in Deptford. It was crazy.
I'll tell you this, Dean. What scares me about that video is I know how intelligent you are, and like I said, that just made me nervous.
Dean's not a hugger. That was awkward.
No, that's all you really need to say. So I think something else is going on.
You never know what I may have in store up my sleeve.
That's why at the end of every show I had to kiss his butt so bad. I'm so sorry I said this. Please don't hurt me.
Now, getting back to the card, of course,
yeah.
One of your favorites, Master Official, is Ron Starr taking on Keikoa the Flying Hawaiian, and I think Keikoa has a good chance to put down that crafty veteran.
Wow. Did Brady take over the show?
Absolutely never going to happen.
It's frightening. It's frightening.
We're on every week.
Look like this. But, you know, if Keikoa can just stay, you know, above Ron Starr and not get 15 feet below him as he's falling, he should be just fine. He should be able to compete. Keikoa is a great athlete. The fans adore him. Every time he comes to the ring, the crowd goes nuts.
Standing ovation last month.
It's amazing. And, you know, there was some controversy at the end of his match. Some insinuated that I might have missed a call. Of course, you know that.
You did!
There's no way that could have happened. I looked at the video.
It was an underhanded trick by that Larry Lawson.
You know, Larry Lawson is a gentleman, and it surprises me that you would say that about him.
Larry, what happened to sportsmanship?
Larry sent me a lovely fruit basket and said, telling me how wonderfully I appreciated that match. And I looked at the video and I saw nothing still. So I'm waiting for Keikoa to send me an email of apology for accusing me of doing something wrong when I didn't. But it still hasn't happened yet.
You're going to wait a long time.
Long time, yeah. Jinx, Dean Dixon, D. Dixon, D. Dixon.
Another one. But you have to stay out of the way of Ron Starr, too.
Absolutely.
Last time, I felt that mess before. Post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, thank goodness we had off from May until October because you had a lot of issues to get over.
Oh, I went deep into meditation to get over that. I wasn't sure I would be seen again. You know, I thought perhaps I'd end up a splotch on the floor. Things are okay now. I've seen Ron Starr around. I've stopped vomiting when that happens. So I think we should be fine. If I happen to start quivering in a corner, someone should probably just put a pencil into my mouth. I'll be fine in a minute or two.
But what will happen when you...
Actually, we're told not to put pencils in the mouth. That's actually dangerous.
But what will happen when you see
no
red
medical
spandex?
Training, sorry.
Red
sorry?
Spandex. What will happen when you see that red spandex?
You know, I'll be like the rooster. I will have some flashbacks. You know, it's one of those things I will be a professional and I will continue on.
I'm telling you, I don't know how you can oversee it. One match I do want to bring up is for the tag team titles. It's actually the only title match on the show. So this is very important, I think. It's Loudy's highly entertaining wrestler, and that's Xavier Cross, who will be here, I hope, in a couple weeks with Loudy. And Drew Blood taking on Fusion DS. And let me tell you, never been stronger, Fusion DS.
Like their brothers.
Exactly.
Yeah, Steiner's fought one.
Are you looking forward to that as much as I am?
You know, I'm very much looking forward to it. Loudy is always trouble for a referee because he's constantly trying to squirm his way in and get involved. He's distracting with his, you know, antics outside the ring. The fans are on top of him constantly. And Drew Blood, you know, let's face it, the guy's not the nicest guy on the roster. You know, he's already smacked me in the face with his elbow pad in the middle of a match.
Yeah, yeah.
I have
seen that happen. Now here's a little trivia for you. Drew Blood is also a very distinguished official. I'm not sure if you knew that.
I did. I know he's been an official at CZW.
Yes.
But he's not a master official. So
that would be true. That would be true.
He's the only one in professional wrestling history, so.
And you're certainly not a senior official, are you?
No, senior officials are just old and senile.
And they stay down for bumps too long.
Like Earl Hebner.
Or take them on concrete floor sometime.
For no reason whatsoever.
For no reason whatsoever.
I'm just going to rest right here.
Yeah, so, Anthony, do you have any final thoughts? I mean, this is really, I like the future of this.
We
haven't discussed another great match. We have Ty Reno versus Nathan Avery.
Nathan Avery's
on a roll. He's got Flynn Burgundy in his corner now.
Ooh, there goes that streak.
Well, and Ty Reno is hungry as can be. He's in the gut check competition, so he's
say Flynn Burgundy really was as hungry as he can be.
You got him to crack.
I got him, finally. I was trying all night, and I got it. Yes.
You got me that time.
Thank you.
Well, here's the thing about that match. Of course, originally, Crawford, this was supposed to happen. But Ty Reno stepped out into another match with the former Empire. That's right, breaking news. Empire's
former.
No more.
Wait, what?
Yeah, no explanation needed. That's all I have to say. Empire's no more.
I am shocked.
Me too. Now,
the walls came crumbling down.
I don't know why that would happen.
Now that it's happened, I feel so bad because for months and months I was saying I couldn't wait for Empire to, you know, the walls come crashing down, and apparently they did. That's your explanation.
Another reason Pyrino was hungry. He needs to prove himself as a singles competitor. He needs big matches on his resume if he's going to be noticed by TNA. You know, it's one of those things where he can pull out all the stops this month and really make a name for himself.
He could. I certainly agree with that. The other thing I wanted to correct you on, and I'm sorry, Master Official. I hope this isn't penalized, but TNA stopped the gut check today.
They did.
Yeah, they stopped the voting because it doesn't work.
Yes.
It was bull. Never mind.
Well, they opened up the voting so you could vote as many times as you wanted yesterday. And apparently,
that means all the guys were going in going, me.
Or bots of some type. I'm sure some wrestlers are technologically advanced to do such things. Anyway, they closed the voting. They're scrapping the whole idea.
For his sake, that he was noticed by somebody, that somebody in the company was actually looking at the competitors that were listed on the 17 categories with it.
Yes.
There is a couple of gentlemen who I've met as wrestlers and backstage that I really, really, really hope got the eye of that company. Like, I can't hope beyond hope any harder that they caught somebody's eye. Please.
Yep. And
You know what match he used? And you were part of it.
Absolutely.
Yes. It was his title defense against LJ Cruz, the U.S. title.
A five-star matchup, easily.
What if you got a job there? You'd wear those blue shoes, those Nike things?
I don't know. I can't look directly at the mat while I'm counting like Earl Hebner Jr. does. So, and I don't know. Turin Terrell is really not going to look forward to someone better looking as a referee in the company. So,
yeah, I think you would look good. It's the beard, dude.
It's sexy. The ladies love it. It's fluffy.
Sure, I'll agree with you. Sure,
it is fluffy.
It's fluffy. I've not touched it, Dean. Have you touched this?
It's a little fluffy.
Touched it.
A little fluffy.
Yeah, why don't you be honest? You know you touched it.
I walk up to him every time I see him and go, "Hi, Anthony."
That was
a little jealous of my facial hair, huh?
I am because it does. I grow in. I call it the reverse Hitler. It stops halfway up, you know, right under my nose. I can't grow any hair. What?
So attractive look.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But like I was saying,
how I get all the ladies in the club, I just grow a half-ass beard.
But like I was saying, I am looking forward to this every once in a while, this recurring sketch.
Know.
Yeah, so this is great. I'm glad you came.
I have a feeling, Dean, that we are going to be the show that has continuous series. We're going to be the Nightline of wrestling.
I hope so. If we can only have people that once
call
they
in
confirm,
when they're supposed to.
they come on the show.
Can I also plug the other company I work for?
Yes, go right ahead. I'm sorry.
Of course. In northern New Jersey, I'm also a master official for NWA Liberty States Wrestling.
Now, they had a pretty big show, a pretty big debut.
A huge debut. Almost 400 people, I believe, was in the crowd. We crowned
Smith James. Smith James was a headliner.
Smith James, he was in a tag team match with Bill Carr versus the Hurricane, Shane Helms, and Apa Jr.
Manu, did the people not in the know?
Smith James just received big accolades for a tryout with the WWE.
That's what I heard. Smith James. Used to be Baby Huey, I was told.
No kidding.
No.
That's what I heard. Could
you know, there we go. The nice Dean is gone again.
An unconfirmed rumor, perhaps.
Unconfirmed BS is what I call it.
I don't know how I triggered it, but I got there.
You didn't have to trigger it. It's just like, you know, PMS. It comes every now and then.
But great stars up there, too. Papa Don is works for us at NWA Liberty States Wrestling.
Papa who?
Demetrius.
Demetrius, okay.
I'm going to tell him that.
Oh, my God.
I'm seriously going to tell him. I'm going to message him right now.
Go right in, Dan.
Dean said, Papa who?
Papa who?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We have a...
I'll make the clip for you, Dan, so you can play it over and over.
Why? He didn't need a clip to come attack me. Why would he need the clip for you?
Don't get all shooty with me.
Guys, come on.
Shut up, man. I was about to ask you, how does it feel to be under the... Again, I'll preface this by saying everybody, you know, kind of takes a crap on the NWA name, but what does it feel like to be associated with the NWA name?
For me, it's a great honor. I grew up an NWA fan. While most of my friends in the New York area were big WWE fans, I really always looked to the wrestling more than the showmanship of wrestling, and I always liked the stories told in the ring. So I was a huge, huge NWA fan. I was a Flair fan. Barry Windham is my favorite wrestler of all time. You know, finally being achieving a goal, a lifetime goal to be in the NWA is huge for me.
Wow, you know what? That's awesome because I think that gives, in my opinion, and it happened. I'll put it on the TNA level. I think it gives it a little bit of fire still when a company when a company comes out. Listen, we're on the NWA banner. People immediately, even though they don't want to admit, they go, "Oh, that's interesting. Let me go over here." So I think that'll help, and I hope that's successful.
Thank you, sir.
NWA NMR. I can hear it right now.
I wouldn't mind that, but
I would. You know. Get Anthony. You're the master official. Who do I got to drive up there and talk to you with to get some,
I think it would be a hard negotiation since, you know, no one's ever seen the board's face, to let alone, you know, to get them to negotiate with the NWA, but except for Don Warren, of course, and we know everything he touches turns
solid
gold.
I got it. You know what? NWA HIAC, then, fine.
Sounds good.
Well, irregardless, do you have that Twitter handle?
Yes,
where can people
you.
Follow you, and where can people follow Liberty States?
You can follow Liberty States at NWA LSW.
And how about your Twitter?
And mine is at Master Official G.
And this has been the debut segment of Master G's Theater. I think it went great, sir.
It's been an honor, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you so much for having me.
Not a problem. We'll talk soon.
Cujo is hilarious, by the way.
Thank you. That's great.
quite the dignified guest.
That was a great segment. I'm glad that. Excuse me. I'm glad that was booked, sir.
Thank you.
And I really would. I really wanted to get up to the Liberty Liberty. Jesus.
Liberty baking sale. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I hear they have some good cupcakes and muffins.
I'm hungry. What can I say?
Yummy muffins.
I really wanted to get up to that show, and I really couldn't. Do they have another show the same weekend as NMR again?
No. I think it's March. We should have asked the Master Official. I think it's March 9th.
I'm on their site, and I can't. Events. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, maybe that.
I couldn't see. It wasn't coming up.
Okay, I got you. I'm sorry.
The site, that is.
Golden Girls looks so good right now.
I am going to punch you in the face when I see
it's on Wii right now. Just saying. Wii TV.
Wii TV.
Great episodes of Roseanne and the Golden Girls. And
that was a free promo. Stop promoting somebody who doesn't give us money.
Nobody gives us money, Dan. What are we talking about?
Well, that's not true. It's not entirely true.
We're just happy not to get a cease and desist.
I'm very happy about that, but I'm already, more and more I'm talking about it as HIAC Talk Radio.
Hell yeah. It's a brand name, sir.
I think I might just go for the trademark for it.
It's a brand name.
I'll ask Robert.
Meet me, Vince.
Robert Knight has connections with RefBitch. I'll ask him how to get copyrights and patents and things of that nature. I'll end this fucker right now. I don't. It doesn't matter to me.
Why? Don't end it because other people don't call. We're here. We're on your side. We got your back, sir.
The entire 2 hours, if need be.
And breaking news. I'm referring the Crazy Hyman Matt Tremont match.
Oh, I missed that. What happened there?
The bosses are just finding out. I gotta say.
Oh, because the Master Official did not want to take that assignment?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to take that assignment either.
You know what? I'll take it. Whatever.
I think you're just crazy, but that's...
It's gotta be better than what I'm doing right now. Yes, it is... The next NWA Liberty State show is March 23rd. It has Brooke Pike.
March 23rd, so a week after.
Thank you, Mr. Official.
A week after our next
show, Retaliation, NMRWrestling.com.
You know what? Someone who I do want to plug, Dan,
yes,
is the Mystery Men. Yes, the Mystery Men. And I do have a nice song here ready queued up.
Let's rock the Mystery Men.
So I'm going to put that on and, be right back after this is the Mystery Men, Blood Will Flow.
Stand tall, ride high. till we make the music in the block will flow. From the top of your head to the bottom of your soul. Might even turn on your elbows. Nod your head up and down. Here we go. Stand tall. Ride hard. Fly long. Don't ever fall. Stand tall. Fly. Germs, we are the Mystery Men.
The Mystery Men, the Lucha Rock band of intergalactic proportions, with The Blood Will Flow. And I believe you can follow them at The Mystery Men on Twitter.
That is correct.
Awesome. That's awesome stuff. I can't wait to see them live.
Yes, yes. You never know what might happen. You never know what might happen.
Nah, stuff might get together.
I'm hoping.
Things.
I'm hoping.
Congeal.
Now, our next guest, Dan.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to say, he is a CZW veteran. He is in charge of the campaign for a better combat zone, Dan. A better combat zone. He doesn't want all these death matches and broken planes of glass. And he doesn't want that. Barbed wire. It's bad, Dan.
Bad.
What's to clean it up?
Kinder, gentler?
A little bit.
Gentler's combat zone. Just have it a zone.
Yeah, no combat. Let's get along a little bit. That's all I'm saying. But we're going to get to him right now. Because this is, of course, Drew Gulak I'm talking about. And we got a lot to talk about. So here we go.
Like a naked dead body.
it is with great pleasure that we bring on Drew Gulak. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Hello! I'm doing my ring entrance in my car right now. That's great. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that song in forever. That's a great song right there. That's Beast by Nico Vega. Check them out.
Yeah, I love that song. It certainly does charge up a crowd. Now, you're joined by, of course, I am Double D. You have Dan Colachico and Omega Squad Chris Green. So
Omega Squad, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, somebody likes the name.
All right.
Omega Squad.
Yeah, that's a win for Omega Squad. He is, Tully Blanchard didn't like the name too much.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say about that.
Tully Blanchard does not know what he's talking about. Clearly that guy has no taste if he does not like the name Omega Squad.
Yeah, what does Tully Blanchard know?
Yeah, right. What has he done? What has he done?
He has a crap.
Oh, he's a fool.
Man, Tully Blanchard's the man, and he hated your name. How does that make you feel? Does that suck?
That's okay. That he also hated the name after he told him he never saw one of his matches.
Hey, he's the most important. Yeah, yeah. He's the most important person to ever hate me. But then, and so he's on top of a very, very large group.
Maybe if he sees you perform, you could change his mind, and then he'll be getting some Omega Squad T-shirt.
I don't know if he wants to. That doesn't sound like a good plan.
Never know, man. Tully Blanchard on your team, you're bound to make something happen.
That is true. Now, what I wanted to start out with is how you broke into the business. I believe it was the Jakara Wrestling Factory.
You got a little backwards there, Double D. The way I broke into the business was through the CZW Wrestling Academy.
That was back
in 2004. Funny story, I was overseas in high school studying architecture because that's what I went to college for. And I happened to be in Israel, and there was a group of refugees that I was hanging out with in the site that we were at. And they were swinging light tubes at each other.
Okay.
I'm dead serious.
What?
There's a group out there, and right now they have their own group out there called IPWA, the Israeli Pro Wrestling Association. They actually, I think it's the only independent promotion that runs in Israel. I saw them outside one day when we were studying a site. I was 16 at the time. This was stuff that I was doing for college credit, and. They were swinging light tubes at each other, and I had no idea what they were doing. And I went, and they showed me on the computer this guy named Sick Nick Mondo and the stuff that he was doing in Combat Zone Wrestling at the time. I think they were down in Delaware back in the day in a place called Smyrna. And they were throwing each other through tables, throwing each other through glass. And I stayed in Israel for a few months, and I went back home. And me and my brother went and checked them out, and we became big fans. And started training at the CZW Wrestling Academy. And then they merged with the Chikara Wrestle Factory in 2005, right around the time that I made my debut in the ring.
Now, when you entered the CZW Academy, I mean, were you a little nervous? I mean, they have this reputation, as you know, the light bars and the glass and the barbed wire and the blood in the guts. Were you nervous at all, or did you walk right in with your foot in the door?
I honestly wasn't nervous because at the time we were on the ring crew before we started training. That was around Tournament Adept 3, I believe. I think that was the right time, like when I came home. And I worked on ring crew for a while up until I became a trainee. Like they wouldn't let us in before the shows because we weren't part of the school. So we wouldn't get to see them set up. We obviously wouldn't get to see, you know, some of the behind the scenes work that goes into, promoting the show. But we were allowed to help the ring crew break down because we were such avid fans. And eventually DJ Hyde approached myself and my little brother at the time to come down and train at the school. So I guess the nervousness was just more like I was anticipating this moment for my entire life. I always thought it could happen. So there it was. I was a fan from a young age.
How long was it before they got you into your first match?
It was about 8 months. 8 months till I debuted. I started in August of 2004, and I debuted in April of 2005, April 17th, I believe. That's like 10 days before I was 18, and that was at my high school gym. Yeah, my high school gym. We did a charity show for the Maven Bentley Association.
Jeez. Did you have any hesitation? Were you ready, or did you feel you were ready?
I was ready. I was 100% ready to go.
Do you remember your first match, or was it a blur?
I just watched it a couple days ago with Mr. Frank O'Rourke, actually.
how would you rate yourself now? Looking back,
how did I do?
Yeah.
Okay. I actually, for someone having their first match, I did very well. And I'm not speaking because I'm biased, obviously, but I think I held up. It's probably the most painful thing, too, going back and watching myself in my first match.
Now, what were some of your accomplishments early on in CZW? I know you've won a few titles there. Just, like, kind of go over some of the accomplishments starting out.
Okay. Myself and a tag team partner who I'd met in the school there named Andy Sumner, we were paired up from the beginning because we both had similar backgrounds. I was a freestyle, folk-style wrestler my entire life. I won some championships doing that. And he was a Sambo champion. He actually studied the art of Sambo grappling in Russia. And, we got paired up from the get-go. He was sort of like, I don't know, I guess he was the more mixed martial arts look of the team, and I was the more amateur wrestler look of the team, and we became the aptly named Team Andrew because his name was Andy and my name was Drew.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, doesn't that scream independent wrestling?
Yeah, pretty much.
But it was fun, you know, like people liked us. We had a good time. We were beating people up just like the Steiner Brothers did, except we were half their size. And we became two-time CZW Tag Team Champions. That was my early accolades.
Okay, so then as time went on, when did the campaign start for a better CZW?
Okay, the campaign was like a slow evolution. It's weird. I was never one that was just thrust into like a role in the company. I was always just kind of like, I was just me being there as myself. I was this kid who wrestled in high school. And, you know, I was thrown to the wolves from day one, basically, with, you know, the talent that I was around. I was right there while John Zandig and, like, Mike Quackenbush and Chris Hero, like, all these personalities occupied the same space. And so many different philosophies were going on at the same time. And the creative directions that were going on in CZW were very juxtaposed. And I had to kind of, like, just find my own path. What wound up happening was my tag team partner, who I'd mentioned before, just out of the blue stopped talking to me, and he stopped showing up. He stopped showing up at the shows. This is a guy who I talked to once a week, at least once a week, hung out regularly. You know, he lived in New Jersey at the time, and I lived in Philadelphia, so we were together a lot, and, you know, we did a lot in the company, but he got set up, and instead of, you know, working with me to kind of find a solution, he left me high and dry. So then I kind of, you know, I was free to take my role in a different direction, even though, you know, it was kind of painful to do it. This is a guy I spent a lot of time with, a close friend of mine, who just kind of stopped talking to me. And I wound up becoming an advocate. I started realizing people, you know, especially the younger guys, they started respecting me more, and they would listen to me, and they would ask me for advice. And that's really what turned the point there. I became an advocate. I started speaking up about things in the company that I thought could be better, and one of the biggest problems was that our reps were being manhandled by the guys. And I was always taught, you know, like, never touch a referee, you know, there's the law in the ring, and if you break down that barrier, then the whole event goes to shit. Because you can't take their opinion for anything, you know, like, why does anybody bother to listen to them? And the guys were throwing them through tables. And this is something that I was taught by DJ Hyde, by Mike Quackenbush, by Zandig, by Les Thatcher, you know, by Chris Hero, by all these dudes who I had around me. And they all said the same thing, but people in the company weren't listening to them. So I just kind of started saying things like, hey, why not stand up for the referees a little bit? And Nick Gage was the main guy who was doing that at the time. And then I was just, you know, full on speaking out against him. And people got behind me. And that's how the campaign began.
Now, what else about CZW do you feel needs to be changed, or do you want to change?
Right now, I think that it's funny. I shifted gears. Like, earlier in the year, I kind of took the angst that I had built up against Nick Gage and vented that out with my former training partner, Danny Havoc. And we had a really gruesome battle last May. And after that, it was just kind of, you know, I went away to Europe, and I tried to kind of find my new grounds, and I turned my attention to the women in the company because we had some female students coming up, and I feel like women were never really given the proper platform that men were in combat zone wrestling.
Yeah.
And CZW has always been, and I've always been a big advocate of this, CZW has always been a platform for people to break out and reach new levels in the business. From day one, it's plain to see that if you go back and look at the history of the company, you know, regardless of your feelings towards us, that the CZW is the place to be if you want to get noticed first. And
yeah.
I feel like we've never had, you know, women treated that way, where they're given a fair shake to go and do this. Then I started looking at issues all throughout the company, like, why do girls have to be, you know, these people who come into a wrestling business? Why does a girl get a job, you know, just by showing her tits? You know, that's not fair to the ones who actually want to work hard, you know? And we have a lot of hard-working girls, you know, not just on the independents, but all around the industry.
Yeah.
You know, and then by default, they're looked at as this object, and they can't be seen as someone on an equal level as the men. Even though, you know what, I was in high school, we had girls on the team who were whooping the boys' ass.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and that leads to Kimberly joining the campaign.
Yes, it does. She just had, it was a great opportunity, and she took it, and we're running with it, and she looks amazing. Have you seen her lately? She looks amazing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she really is an amazing wrestler. I've sung her praises on this program for
many, many times.
Yeah, and one question I wanted to get into, though, is you've been very outspoken before in previous interviews about Nick Gage. And
yeah.
When the campaign was initially starting, it was around the time that he was actually sent to jail.
Yeah.
I mean, did that really give you the fire that you needed to get the campaign in full gear, you think?
100%. Absolutely. That was the most attention that the company was given.
Oh.
And how sad is that? Think about it. Like, let it rattle around in your head for a second, okay? We've been around, we're a company that's been around 12 years at that time, maybe 11 years at that time, 12 years at that
yeah.
time. And one of our employees goes and does that, and that's what's getting us national press.
Yeah.
We were in the movie, we were featured in the movie The Wrestler, but people were talking about how this guy went into a bank, threatened an employee's life, and it was because of a drug addiction, you know,
yeah.
that could have been stopped, or at least could have stopped being enabled by people in our very own organization. And not only that, you got people in the company who are okay with it. That just doesn't make any sense. Any other company in the world where your employee goes and robs a bank, but not only that, threatens an employee, clearly guilty, and you didn't do anything to stop it, you cut the guy off. No
yeah.
offense to him. Amazing performer. Amazing performer. Could get a crowd riled up like nobody else. Just
criminal
was not
criminal.
Right. It was just not right. It was not right for us.
So you're obviously not behind the free Nick Gage chance or... I mean, how do you feel?
Oh, no,
I
ignore that. I ignore that stuff. That doesn't mean anything to me.
But I mean, you're obviously very strong in your opinion about this. I mean, like, how does that make you feel just on a personal level when you have fans out there with shirts that say Free Nick Gage, you have the signs and everything? I mean, on a personal level, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel good. And I'm not saying it makes me feel good because he got what was coming to him. It makes me feel good because those are the people that cared about him enough. Those are the people that proved that how good he was back when he was here. And they're still in our shows, and they still give a fuck. That's why it makes me feel good. Yeah, it's good for me to see those people and be like, okay, they don't forget. It's a shame that they don't see, you know, and maybe they do see, you know, he did a bad thing, but maybe they miss him. You know, it's a little different than someone going to WWE and chanting, we want Chris Benoit back or something like that. You know, that's a completely different story. As far as the severity of what he said. But think about it. It's
well,
still kind of not cool, you know?
Yeah,
it's not cool. I always like when smaller companies, when they're on TV regularly or they have some TV exposure, I like seeing small companies, good wrestlers, good performers. Do you think, with you behind it, CZW can reach a whole new level out of this?
Are you speaking, on a television level or what?
I'm talking about getting bigger, getting more exposure.
Oh, I know so. I absolutely know so. I believe so 100%. I feel like my ideals will put aside all the bullshit and push the company to the level that it could have been. At least on a respect factor.
Okay, yeah. Do you think there's more room at the top between TNA and WWE at this point?
What was that?
Do you think there's more room at the top as far as getting to a level of at least a TNA or at very least WWE?
I don't know. I don't even think that's the main goal. I don't think that should be the goal of Combat Zone Wrestling. I think CZW thrives in its niche, and that's not a bad thing. I think people define success very different ways, and honestly,
right,
without someone throwing millions of dollars in our direction, that's probably unfathomable.
Right.
At this point, just by sheer magnitude. But I'm not saying if someone really wanted to get into it, they could put a good TV show together. I could see that happening. You know, like, why not?
Right.
That doesn't always translate to dollars, though. It doesn't always translate to views. I think right now the future of marketing and stuff like that has to be shifted towards the internet.
Well, I agree. 100%, actually.
You know, I'm surprised the national companies are just kind of now picking up on that, and they're still not even really into it.
Oh, no, not unless you count Twitter. Ooh.
Now, another question I did have was, you work for a variety of companies. Wrestling is respect, beyond wrestling. You work for a ton. You're certainly out there. I mean, why do you go out there so much? Just to get the name out? Or what really is your goal in all of this?
Oh, I love wrestling. I love it. If I can make my living, my full-on living, just doing wrestling, that's my end goal. So one of the things of any aspiring wrestler, I think, if you want to do this professionally, you have to go out there and work. There is no excuse for not going out there and trying to find a job doing this. And it has to do with, you know, being in the right place at the right time. And if you miss that place, someone else is going to get it.
That's a good point.
I like seeing these companies grow. I like seeing these companies flourish, because what brings me joy is seeing other people get into wrestling and like it, and for the same reasons that I do.
I mean that makes total sense. I think a lot of times, especially on the independent level, there's so many different promotions, and they're all kind of fighting for that same crowd. But you have to remember, I mean, there were 1,500 people that used to pack an arena, and a crappy arena at that, in South Philly, during, you know, the mid-90s to just last year, or 2 years ago at this point. That crowd didn't go anywhere. Those people are still out there, so there's no reason that you have shows with 100 people, 150 people, and you say that's a good payday. I don't get it.
Well, I you know what, I think those people specifically, you know, they've grown, they've changed. People do change, and I feel like markets in that sense are cyclical.
Yeah.
So what you see is you got people who grow up with a product, and a lot of people who I know have talked about it like this. Back when, I don't know, the early 90s or the late 80s, WWF had the rock and wrestling cartoony era. And then those people started growing up. And they weren't really into the cartooniness. They wanted realism. They wanted stuff they could relate to. Then you got the gritty attitude era. That's when the spike kind of happened. And then they grew up and got older, and, you know, they got too mature for it. So they kind of reverted back. So now you're going to have this transitional phase where people grow up again, tastes change, and the market switches. I feel like that's just the common sense.
What do you think the next era would be? Because, of course, we went through the Attitude Era. We went through kind of – we really, since that time, have been in kind of a, like you said, a transitional period. I mean, what do you think the next tidal wave – because anybody who follows wrestling sees it, you know, the Rock and Wrestling Connection and then the Attitude Era and all that. So, I mean, what do you see next? What's the next stepping stone?
I mean, you can call it what you want. I feel like what has to happen is eventually – somewhere on a realistic personal level, society has to recognize wrestling again, or someone in wrestling has to get that attention. They have to spark that attention. People call it heat. And I feel like something's going to happen, or, you know, it has to happen. Something eventually will happen where people are going to be like, holy shit, we need to watch this now.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, you call it whatever you want, and, you know, it could be whatever style or, you know, mood or whatever audience you could say it appeals to, but that's the bottom line. People need to watch. It is a media. It is a form of media.
So that's why, you know, the Rock and Wrestling, of course, was Hogan. Attitude Connection was, of course, Austin. So kind of in a way, Cena is not what people are trying to watch because he's really the one at this point that kind of defines this era. So there just has to be somebody coming up that has to get that push.
Yeah, I think it's split. I feel like they're, you know, what do they sell the most merchandise of? Masks? You know, Sin Cara masks, maybe? Rey Mysterio masks?
Yeah.
You know, so that's who the kids are watching right now. And then, you know, the kids that I know, I teach kids part-time right now. And they know the big guys. They know John Cena. They know Rey Mysterio. They know Sin Cara. They know CM Punk.
Yeah.
So, like, they're watching. You know, kids are watching. It's just whether or not they want to stick with it.
And it's just a matter of time because, and it was said perfectly, and I don't remember what documentary I was watching, but ever since the Golden Era, wrestling has been there one shape or form or other. So it'll always be there. It's just depending on who's going to step up and take that spotlight again.
Sure. I'm sure if you wanted to compare it to other mediums like music, you could do that too. You know, you got your Elvises and then you got your Slim Shadys.
Yeah, that's very good, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the perfect thing. Now, getting back to CZW and this weekend, what is going on with you? Last time we saw you in the CZW ring, you were attacked by Niles, the former Young, now known as Sozio. So what's
Sozio.
Going on there?
Sozio, the scumbag.
I'm sorry.
Sozio. Yeah, I know what happened was a lot of my guys got injured. And what was going on before I had my guys, people were coming to the ring and punching me in the face. This is how the campaign started. So I needed backup, and my backup got hurt. So I went to a friend, or at least I thought he was a friend. I asked him for some help, and, you know, he was helping me a little bit. And he had ulterior motives, which turned into a chair to the head.
Yeah.
So, lucky me, right? Who puts me in those situations?
So what happens now? What's the next step? Is there anything scheduled for you and Niles to get it on, so to say?
Is there a schedule? There's no schedule. There's nothing for that scheduled. Right now I'm scheduled to wrestle Chris Brooks, who is from England, from jolly old England, a representative of Fight Club Pro out of Wolverhampton in the UK. Big shout out to Trent Seven, Techers. And that's what is scheduled for me. That's what's scheduled right now. But I do know that Alexander James will be there. I do know that Kimberly will be there. Duance will be there.
Okay, so that is, of course, at the Flyers Skate Zone in Voorhees, New Jersey. And it's a doubleheader. WSU is going to have a spotlight shine on them. And you were talking about women earlier and how it does to the campaign. What do you think about a company like WSU that's what they showcase is all women?
It's a wonderful opportunity for girls to be taken seriously and stand out on a national level, even if it is not, you know, a gigantic market. It is a well-versed market. It's very diverse, and it is probably the largest library of any all-female wrestling company, I believe. I think they ran the most shows in between 2006 and now.
Oh, wow.
They got I think there's a website coming out for them soon, but you can watch them on YouTube if you wanted to. I did a little research there.
Yeah, before the management change, I did get to check out the WSU show, and that was one of the best shows. I'm not just saying this because you're on, but it was one of the best shows I saw all year. It was in June up at the NYWC Sportatorium. So,
okay. So you will be there then. You will be there this weekend.
Oh, definitely. I'm not going to miss this. I mean, I think it's a really good opportunity, like you were saying. So, like I was saying, that's this Saturday. That's going to be at the Skate Zone in Voorhees, New Jersey. Tickets are available at CZ, CZWrestling.com. So check it out. And it's a doubleheader, two separate tickets, but I really think it's worth it. It's going to be
right. I think those WSU tickets are being sold at lookmanofans.com, but you may need to correct me if I'm wrong.
I'll definitely look it up. I'll make the changes on the
on the Hell in a Cell screen right there.
Yeah, definitely.
Hell in a Celltron.
Yeah, yeah. we need one of those.
LookmanofanS.com.
Yeah. So not only that. What else do you have coming up? Because, like I said, you are in a lot of these promotions that are out there. What else do you have?
I guess the most recent ones like coming up is that a company called Wrestling is Art is making their debut in Haverhill, Massachusetts on February 16th and then February 17th in Bridgewater, Massachusetts. So I got those shows coming up. I'm actually squaring off with Mike Quackenbush on the 17th.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's 8 years in the making right there.
Wow.
Yeah, that should be a definite good match. So check that out if you're in that area.
You are correct about the tickets. They are on sale at lookmanofans.com. Go to store and live event tickets, and they're on sale now.
Yeah, that's Beyond Wrestling's website.
Oh, okay. And so, not only that, there was National Pro Wrestling Day. You were involved. How did you feel about the event?
Oh, it was great. It was a lot of fun. There were tons of fans, and there were tons of people from all different promotions, people who I've met, people who I was just meeting for the first time. So I think the biggest thing for those events is networking. I think people got the opportunity to network and, you know, showcase themselves in a way that they aren't normally showcased.
Yeah,
that's a match that I don't get to have very often in front of a live audience.
See, and that's, I think, was the good thing about that day is you got a lot of guys, and the word loyalty is thrown around there, but this is wrestling. You got to help each other out. So if you can wrestle one show one day, another show the next day for another company, and network like that, I think that's just good for the business. I don't see anything bad for that.
Right, and I know firsthand from being a part of CZW, you know, the strength that networking entails through that company. I've been able to go to Europe and meet many people there, and they've been able to come here and work with us. And same for other promotions in the area, like MCW, Maryland Championship Wrestling, WSW now in town, Beyond Wrestling, WSU is coming now.
Yeah,
some of the Midwest promotions. There's tons of them. You know, it's great. It's a wonderful opportunity to be able to network on such a personal level with people, as opposed to just Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, not only that, it was a really neat opportunity because I haven't been able to see ACH live before, and he was really – I took away your match because of that. It was really that top rope suplex that got me. I really loved that. And then
ACH, it got me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, bad.
But it was your match and ACH's. I mean, I really took away, wow, this guy can – Now I know what people are talking about because now I've seen it.
He's a smart ass, that little bugger. Part of my language.
No, it's fine.
It's too late.
He is a smart ass.
Yeah, but
get out of here. His name is his name is an onomatopoeia for when you get hurt. Ah.
I think that's the first time the term onomatopoeia has ever been used on this program.
You're welcome.
It certainly has. Yes, thank you for
it
that.
It's down in the record book. Omega Squad, did you write it down? It's in there.
Yeah, I got that. It's written down. And we have it recorded, so that's always good, too.
It might make the intro next week. You never know.
That's right.
It probably will now. But, Drew, where can people follow you on this journey through the independents and if people are just interested in your career?
I'm really easy to get a hold of. Just follow me on Twitter at Drew Gulak. That's DREWGULAK. It rhymes with attack. You can add me on Facebook. You could Google my name. You could go to czwrestling.com and follow the legacy of the Campaign for a Better Combat Zone. You go to lookmanofans.com or youtube.com/beyondwrestling. Check out what I'm doing there. We're doing some groundbreaking stuff. And then also Wrestling is Respect is at ProWrestlingRespect.com. Wrestling is Art is WrestlingIsArt.com or .org or .net or one of those.
Yeah, so
that covers it for now.
yeah, I really want to thank you. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you.
I mean, just talking about the wrestling business, I think, is something we could. Yeah, we could definitely talk about that any time that you, you know, if schedule works out or whatever. But thank you so much.
Yeah, let me know when the ratings come in, okay? Let me know how you feel when the ratings come in.
You know what? Ratings or not. You know what? Here's a question I wanted to ask you about. And you just, for some reason, it just went in my mind. You had, at last year's big match, the anniversary show, the 13th anniversary show, at the Skate Zone, you were in the main event against the then champion. But the fans didn't seem to like that match at all. In fact, they were just, it was on Botchamania because the fans
just
kept
on. Are you kidding me? What do you mean they didn't like that match? They were going nuts the entire time. That was the most vocal that crowd was the entire night. Everybody who saw that match had a blast.
I mean, is that really how you feel about it, or because it just seemed they were chanting Whitney Houston and chanting Brooklyn Brawler?
I loved it. I loved every second of it. I thought it was kind of inappropriate, you know, to chant a dead woman's name.
She died that night.
They were celebrating it. They were celebrating
her
death.
Fault
I think that
for
was kind
dying
of
that night.
Yeah, it was because Larry Legend made the announcement that night during the show. Yeah, but I always wanted to ask you that because, I mean, what's it feel just like getting on Botchamania? I'm not sure how many times you've been on or anything like that, but is it like an insult or is it like, oh, at least I was recognized?
It's more like, oh, that motherfucking Matthew Gregg is up to his old tricks again because he likes the video games that I do.
All right.
Some form of that.
All right, so we won't have him on ever. Awesome.
That was a great match, okay? That was a great match. If you turn the volume off, you will enjoy that match, and you will not have to hear those stupid chants.
I was there. I liked the match.
Thank you. See? And you probably had a great time, and you remember it because of how much fun the audience was having that night.
That night was just a little weird. I'm not going to get into that now for you, but...
Okay. We don't have to.
Yeah, but Drew, it's not always a pleasure. It was the first time, but you're welcome back anytime. And I think just to talk about wrestling or whatever, you know, like because there's a few people like Josh Daniels is another one that we just talked about the state of the game, so to say. And I'd love to do that sometime with you.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so
let's have lunch.
Yeah, we'll be in touch definitely. But again, thank you, sir.
Okay, Double D, thank you very much.
All right. You know what? The past 2 weeks, we had trouble with the first guest. And what happens is, you know, you kind of like, you get in a mood. And then that second guest, the 10:30 spot, really turns it on, I think. Really elevates the
game.
It's
almost as if they know and they're on fire when they come on here. Really.
Oh, that was great, especially the part just talked about wrestling and how women are really disrespected, and that's something that I know grinds your gears, Dan.
No, it drives me crazy. You're watching a show and you see two, it depends. If you're watching one show and they're not really trying that hard, but you're watching a show and they're wrestling just as hard, if not harder than the guys, and the crowd's like, and it pisses me off.
Well, no, I agree with that. Even on the independent level, that happens.
Oh, my God, it drives me crazy.
Well, we talked about that with MMA, too. It's the same kind of dynamic where you get the women who always bring it. They're always trying hard. They're always out there laying it all out there in the cage. And you know, there's a certain segment of the population that really couldn't care or hate it for no real good reason.
Yeah, like we said, when we were doing the Sellies, nobody had a better year last year than Rousey. But how many in the general population think that? You know what I mean? How many people would defend Rousey like we were ready to? I mean, granted, she won the fan polling, and there were over 30 people that voted on that. But I'm just saying, I mean, how many people? I mean, is that a good sample size? Probably not. But, I mean, how many people would defend that? Not a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's
just other people.
Yeah, it's well, and there's always going to be that. Unfortunately, there's always going to be a segment of the population that just doesn't get it, and I guess that's true with anything. But
yeah, but awesome,
doesn't mean it's right.
No, awesome time with him. I'd like to get him on a roundup. We haven't done a roundup in a while. I think it's time we start planning on that. Maybe for the 27th. That's what I'm thinking, guys. The 27th, we're going to shoot for a roundup.
Book it.
Oh, okay.
I'm getting the book out right now. Let's see.
So never have Matthew on.
Well, no, we could try, but whatever.
I think it would piss certain guys off.
Joe Gacy. This is funny. Joe Gacy was named...
It's easy to do those videos over in England, I'm just saying.
But Joe Gacy was... Well, yeah. But Joe Gacy, the day that he was named the worst wrestler of the year on Botchamania.com, I saw him. And the first thing I said to him was like, hey, how's it feel to be the worst wrestler of Botchamania? And he's like, that motherfucker. He goes, I had a good year. It was just fun if you were there.
Well, I mean, no, I agree. But, I mean, these guys work hard, and you're seeing 3 seconds of a match where it could have been,
you know what,
just one move, and you get a compilation of it. I enjoy it because it's funny, but,
It is funny, but it does certainly...
When you work your ass off, you do that.
Well, here's my thing. I mean, you'll see guys like Bandito and Azrael who have great matches every time out. You'll see them on Botchamania because now they're really entrenched in the tag team division. And it's like, yeah, that was one spot that went wrong out of how many in a 15-minute match? It just doesn't make sense. And
that's
what
I mean. That's sometimes it's just like anything else in the media, taken out of context.
Well, yeah, and see, a big thing about that is a lot of the, you know, the smart fans out there, whatever you want to call them, with ECW, you know, somebody botched a spot, they would start the chant, you know.
You fucked up.
Yeah, they would start that chant. Now, you want to be cool. You want to be in the know. Oh, they missed a spot. Well, of course, it's going to happen. It's going to happen probably every match.
I was afraid to ever chant that for fear of one of these guys getting pissed off coming at you. All right. It's funny. Here I come.
I don't think anything like that would happen, but you never know. You never know. Now, next week, we're going to be joined by Loudy, the Financial Miracle Loudy, Dan.
Hell yeah.
And Xavier Cross. And I'm going to say his name correctly each time because I have a problem with that X.
That word.
Xavier Cross.
Xavier Cross. Francis Xavier Cross.
Yes, yes. And, of course, next week is the return of a French Interruption, Dan.
Yeah. Was it part, 18 or something?
6.
Oh, all right. It felt much longer than that.
But you know what, Dan? To get you ready for it, here it is.
Oh, you're going to do it.
It's going to be a big interruption, and it's going to be French.
Oh, the French interruption. Now we're talking, huh? Ooh la la! Woo!
I'm the champ! Woo!
You know what? Much respect to to Ooh La La and the man behind the Ooh La La character. I love Ooh La La. I love what he brings to the table. You're not going to see a Huna Kurana. You're not going to see a five-star match, in quotations. But
you will be entertained.
And isn't that what it's about?
And that what it's about these days, my friend.
The guy just knows what he's doing in there. He's a ring general. He's just a fun time. I mean, some of my best memories with ECWA really go around that guy. And not only that, after the show, talking to him.
Oh, God. One time I walked up, you guys were having a conversation. I walked over real quick to say hi, and we stood there for like a half hour.
easily. Just talking about wrestling, talking about the company ECWA, talking about his career. And that's really where A French Interruption was born, was those conversations after a show. And
I still don't think we know what that is.
No. I don't think we'll ever know what that is.
That's okay. I don't think he knows. Real quick, from Drew on Twitter, he forgot to mention WrestleCon on April 5th. WrestleCon on 4th, 5th, and 6th on DGUSATV.com. Jesus. Help me, Dean.
I can't help you. I don't know what you're reading.
DGUSA.TV. DragonGateUSA.TV.
Yes. That is going to be huge. I know one match that's already signed for CZW there.
And?
Greg Excellent taking on Colt Cabana.
Really?
Ooh.
Yes, cannot wait for that. Greg Excellent, of course, we had him on. It all goes back to Colt Cabana wanted to, have relations, shall we say, with Greg Excellent's mother. That's where it all started.
Ah, yes.
The perfect setup, I believe, for any wrestling match. Right there.
You know what?
Don't you talk about my mom like that.
the line, and I'll say it uncensored because it was so funny. Colt Cabana's leaving the ring, and he says, I'm looking forward to our match at WrestleCon, blah, blah, blah. And Greg just looks at him with such a confused and innocent look, and he goes, "You're not going to fuck my mom." It was just so funny. I love. You know what? Greg Excellent, I saw him a year ago for the first time at the anniversary show. He wrestled the Hells Young. And I don't know. Things have really turned around, and he's really one of the reasons. It, like we were saying about Ooh La La. It's really about the entertainment factor with a guy like Greg. He knows what he's doing in the ring, and he does that cannonball into the ring corner. He moves for a big guy like that.
For a big guy, yeah.
I mean, my goodness. I mean, we've talked about the trilogy that he had with Mia Yim, but besides that, he's been – I didn't even ask Drew, but he was entrenched in a battle with Drew for a while as well. But, wow, just
– Well, Greg Excellent seems like one of those guys got a good rapport with a lot of people.
Greg Excellent, I'll tell you, that interview, Drew, so far this year we've really gotten some good stuff out of people, and we're just going to get better people.
Yeah, we've had really good luck with the interviews.
Yeah,
thus far.
When they call.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
Are we trying? Have you heard reply?
For what?
Have you heard a reply on that one?
Which one? I'm sorry.
The first one. This one. Today.
Wait, what?
The interview today that didn't call.
Oh, no, I didn't even write them, whatever.
Okay, cool.
I don't chase down anymore, Dan.
I agree. We don't have enough time.
Yeah, I mean, I've already got, I can't even squeeze it in, so. Maybe the 27th would be the first, but whatever. You know what? Pulling back the curtain a little bit, he missed another appearance this week on another podcast, so I wasn't completely surprised. So on the 20th, we have Chrissy Rivera from CZW. She will make her second appearance in the cell because, of course, during the On Point show, she was a guest, and she will be making her return to the cell. Can't wait for that.
No, that could be good.
This will be after, of course, her match with Greg Excellent coming up this weekend. And that is a fans bring the food, ultra-violent food fight. You heard me.
Huh.
You know, the concept is intriguing, I must say.
It certainly is. Cupcakes with thumbtacks, I'm envisioning. I I don't know.
I'm hungry.
And then this is a pretty big one. I haven't really talked about it yet. It is on HIACtalkradio.com. Blinky Productions. We're going to have them on the 20th tentatively.
I'm glad about this because this stuff's been going down with, or has gone down with the Deadpool series that I'm very upset about. But she has lots of other projects, but I've been biting at the bit to talk to him.
Well, we'll talk about the Deadpool series. Of course, Damian Dragon from ECWA, New Moon Rising Wrestling, various other promotions, WXW, things like that, was Deadpool in the series. And Marvel pulled the rug out of the series, put in a copyright claim, and it's no longer being produced. Or are they still shooting? I'm not sure, Dan.
As far as I know, the shooting has
ceased.
Yes,
and that just sucks, man.
Because, and I have more information. Ironically, I found out the same day by listening to a radio show I listened to that they're actually in development for the major Deadpool movie.
Oh, so you think that's...
So I think that had a lot to do with it. Mm. There's a comedian, Brian Posehn. I'm sure you know that guy. He's written a few comic books, and he's in talks about, I don't know, writing the movie, but co-writing or assistant. And I think, and I found out, the next day, so... I think that has a lot to do with it, too. They were like, hey, wait a minute, you can't do this.
Yeah.
What if it's better?
it's weird because you think about a franchise as huge as Star Wars that's embraced fan films
for
years. And, you would think, you would hope that Marvel would be more accommodating to those type of things. But now they're both owned by Disney. I don't know. Maybe the House of Mouse has wielded its ugly fist. And...
But what is the trouble with a fan that loves a product so much that wants to make a series? It's only good advertising in my book.
You know what franchise has a lot of fan films that don't get taken offline? Ghostbusters. And they've been talking about a third movie for years, and it's actually going to begin developing.
Shut up!
I thought that was a very good point, Jerkoff.
But anyway,
it's only
free advertising.
Well, I get it. I coming from a corporate background, I understand the point. I don't necessarily agree with it, but it's just you got to protect your intellectual property, and if something went out and that was really, they did something really crazy with it, that was really damaging to it. Your movie that you just sunk millions into could just be a laughing stock. Whether that's a realistic reason or not, or just lawyers, I don't know. I tend to think it's just lawyer posturing, but I tend to agree that it's free advertising, especially for something that's like Deadpool, is not really as well known as the bigger Marvel properties.
But. Yeah, the only way I knew of Deadpool was the video game.
Yeah, me too.
First time I knew who Deadpool was, what his origin was, that he was a merc with a mouth, and it doesn't make sense to take down a project that obviously these people embrace and loved.
Yeah, I agree.
Are we pouting, Dan?
I'm just following orders.
Oh, good. This guy. Promotional consideration.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, guys. Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room on WEXT 1600 AM in Philadelphia and BradyHicks.com. Like what you hear? Be sure to check out all the other great content available on BradyHicks.com. In the Room, Between the Ropes, JV Mail, Hell in a Cell Radio, Titus Machiavelli, The Papa Don Show, What's Wrong with Wrestling, The Book Club, Saturday Night Akbaz, The Extreme Odd Couple with Steve Carino on Rob Dimension, The O Show, The Fish Tank with Bobby Fish, and Dimple Date, the dating and relationship show at thebradyhicks.com. Great video content. This Week in Wrestling, Stepping Out with Sassy Stephanie, WSU and ECWA TV, Completely Damaged, Wrestling Reflections with Darren Corbin, and so much more. Check it out today.
Brady.
Is that still on?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think half of those shows are still on. But, you know, it is Brady, and I give him his time there.
We need two new commercials from Brady and from Dream Warriors.
We're trying to work on something for The Walking Dead.
Yes.
We're going to get it somewhere along the line, but...
No, we're going to have a Walking Dead season, halfway season preview, review soon.
Yeah.
Soonish. On the books.
Yeah. We have a lot of stuff, of course, this weekend. The doubleheader will be WSU, An Ultraviolent Affair, they're calling it. Starts at 4 p.m. at the Flyer Skate Zone in Voorhees, New Jersey. And then CZW with their 14th anniversary show. A stack card, really, there. So make sure you check that out if you're in the area. Or get it on iPay-Per-View.
Any chance Nick Gage will be making an appearance?
With a note in one hand and a gun in another. That was awesome. Next week, as I said, Loudy and Xavier Cross will be here, and A French Interruption Part 6. And then, of course, that's also the go-home show, Dan, for New Moon Rising Wrestling as we talk about Retaliation.
I'm looking forward to this. It's always, again, I look forward to travel. I forgot completely what I was going to say, Dean. Go ahead.
I look forward to traveling.
No.
I was going to
say that I look forward to two things, the show and New Moon Rising, because my personal work job sucks and I can't talk, so I'm going to get...
Amen, brother.
Follow me on Twitter, Danlo83, good night.
Then the 20th, we have Tiffy Rivera, Blinky Productions, as we were talking about. The 23rd, if you're interested, we will be making a trip to Centralia, Pennsylvania. And we are going to have a guided tour by David DeCook. Yes!
That's awesome.
Yes! The more the merrier.
Yes.
Well, I've got some new medical information on Jerry the King Lawler that just came in a few moments ago. We understand that Jerry Lawler has bruised ribs and, with all due respect, he's also suffering from anal bleeding.
What?